Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's Mr. FSP. It's Vic in the place to be, as always. Good news and bad news, but I'll save that for a little later on. And welcome everybody to the program. We have a great, great show lined up for you. Myself, along with my faithful and fearless co-host, JT ATM Money. Say what's up to the people, JT.
Hey, what's up, people? What's up?
We are here to bring you the most information, most entertainment known on the internet. I made a lot of great business connections last night. And hopefully some friends that I could lean on in the future that I can learn from. But on today's show, we are going to talk about some stuff that really gets to me. With the final game of the NFL season hours away, myself and Jerry will discuss the big game and give their points on why we feel either the Ravens, who I'm picking, or the 49ers, who Jerry is picking, is going to win the game. We're also going to talk about the 5-7 finalists that we feel should be in the NFL. We're going to actually compare and contrast certain players at a position and why we feel this person should be in the Hall of Fame and that person should not. I got a real big one between Warren Sapp and Haley that I want to talk about, along with the wide receiver situation, but we'll get to that in a little bit. We'll also look at the upcoming baseball season, and I'll give you my thoughts on a few players. But we've got some controversy going on in the world of baseball. I briefly talked about it last week on the Master Plan, where MLB was doing a crackdown on performance-enhancing drugs and a specific office. This gentleman also happened to show up at the Super Bowl on yesterday trying to, you know, peddle his wares and prove that Ray Lewis used some of his products. But
crazy.
Yeah, he is. But we're going to hear from some of the Super Bowl participants, Frank Gore. We'll hear from Patrick Willis on why he feels that he is a Hall of Famer or will be a Hall of Famer. We'll also hear from NFL Network's Kurt Warner on several topics, one being how Spygate took away one of his possible Super Bowl wins. We'll hear his thoughts on that. We'll also hear about who Frank Gore feels will be Super Bowl MVP. So all that and a bunch more on tap for you today. I want to do some MMA, but we've got too much football to talk about, so I won't do that today. JT, here's the news for you. This is my final show until April 27th.
What?
Yes, next week I have to work, and then after that, I'm off to the field.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
Until April 27th.
So, wow.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
Man, I'm shocked.
Well, it is what it is, and I'm here to do what I got to do. But most of all, we're here to inform you, the listeners. Real quick before we go any further, I want to thank my wife's boss for giving us these Crab Fest tickets. And it was an event here in Livermore, which is known as the wine country here in California.
Okay.
And I met some very influential people. I met a lot of, I see I see how the other side, the other political side, parlays and does things. I was very, very impressed. Not impressed enough to change my political affiliation, but I met some very important people.
Mm-hmm.
One being Victor Som. He's SCG for a very, I call it corporate rating, but it's not corporate rating. He acquires businesses and turns them around. So you can look at it sort of like Bain Capital
mm-hmm.
type situation.
Mm-hmm.
But very, very good guy. We were connected now through LinkedIn. I'm actually looking forward to getting an opportunity to work with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I also met another individual in the public affairs area who's a big executive, Gary France. He's a very astute individual. And down to earth. All these people were down to earth. And it was a fun time. My wife made some new friends and connections as well. So kind of like it. It's like power. You know, like, what do you say, Jerry, when you receive power? You say this.
Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
And I feel I might be a little corrupted. But anyway, I want to say I had a great time last time my wife at this crap fest and met some great people, and I appreciate the opportunity to go and possibly work with people. Alex, I want to say hello to Alex as well. He was the gentleman that was part of the committee putting on this crap. He's a great guy. But let's move on to what we're here for, sports. JT, let's just jump on this baseball thing first, because football is going to take up a lot of time, and I don't want to pass over this baseball thing because it ties right back into football. So this guy, Ian Rappaport calls him a quack pot or a crack pot, says deer antler excrement or whatever it is or whatever it is sprayed on these Alabama football players, Ray Lewis and others, and nobody's denying the issue with A-Rod and as a matter of fact, it's reported that the Yankees are looking to find a way to recoup a lot of the money that they paid A-Rod and to release him, seeing as though he might not even be ready for new gameplay until mid-season. What do you think about this whole PED situation and the fact that A-Rod and others, Miguel Cabrera, the Triple Crown winner, my guy Gio Gonzalez, who says it's not true, and some other Major League Baseball players, I don't see how Bartolo Colon, you know, used it, but he did have a decent beginning of the season last year, so I don't know. What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
Well, I touched on it briefly on Thursday. That's one of the subject matters I had on Thursday. And the way I touched on it is that whoever the accuser is benefits, even though the celebrity denies it.
Mm-hmm.
I had an article that read that the sales of this product and other products that's similar spiked dramatically. Dramatically, just because of the accusation, just because there was an accusation on you know, this at this time was Ray Lewis, but.
How can it spike when it's banned by several sports entities? I mean,
it may be banned by sports associations, sports like NFL or the
MLB
or something like that. But it's not banned or illegal in the United States to have. It falls within that vein. So, because it's supposed to enhance your ability, regardless of what it is. The general public starts rushing to it, trying to find out if it's true or not. And I had an article, I don't have it now, but you wouldn't believe, like the products sales had spiked like five times the normal sales at this time. So, and it's unbelievable, but it is what it is. I can't believe that a star like Alex Rodriguez, who's been admittedly said he took PEDs, is in the same situation again. It's mind-boggling that you repeat history, and the first part of that history was bad for you, and now you're repeating it again. What other kind of results are you going to get? Now, be it that it may, he is accused of it. He hasn't been what they call convicted of it, but along with this article, it seems like, in my opinion, nowadays, it only takes somebody to accuse you to think that you're guilty of it, and the standard in a court of law is supposed to be you're proven, you're not guilty and proven guilty. You're innocent until proven guilty. Now it seems like if you're accused of it, you're guilty, and now you have to scramble to prove your innocence. That seems like we're taking what they do in France. I think if I'm not mistaken, in France, you're guilty until you prove your innocence. So this is I don't know. I don't understand it. In my opinion, show me the evidence. Show me where the guy is guilty, because I still believe in that standard of you're innocent until proven guilty.
I can agree with you on that. However, the stance has come out that Alex, and we're just going to use him because he's a big name, but Miguel Cabrera is the daggone Triple Crown winner. I don't see a lot of attention going toward him. But Alex is a bigger name.
Bigger name, and people more likely to jump on Alex because he's just got that supposedly magnet type of personality that they want to think negative of. So,
yes. I mean, I see that, but at the same time, you know, he admitted he did the PEDs at one point, but said after that point he had never touched it again. And whether this is true or not, I haven't heard anything from his camp stating that it's false. Maybe he's waiting for his day in court, or his lawyers are putting together a defamation suit like Callahan did towards Tim Brown. But this is, would you say or think or speculate that A-Rod isn't saying anything because of his past and the fact that he denied it in the past, and then he eventually came out and said, yes, he did it. Could that be a reason why he hasn't really spoken out about not being a part of this whole PED situation?
Hey, you know, a lot of times these guys, you know, they wait for the first wave of things to take place, and then they wait for that little lull to go down, and then they get their legal team together or their PR team together to give out the best response without leaving any kind of loopholes in their statement. So there's no speculation. I do believe that you're going to hear something from Alex Rodriguez in the near future because he's got a lot to lose, meaning $114 million that's due him from the Yankees.
Yeah, and that's why I'm like, why isn't he out there, you know, stomping his feet, clapping his hands, saying, no, this is not, you know, I didn't do it.
Well, like I said, I do believe, probably within the next week or so, you're going to hear something from him, you know, stating one way or the other. Even though this may be true, and I'm not saying it is. It's only speculation and only accusation, and I don't pay attention to either one of those until there's actual proof out there or the person comes actually out and admit it. Until we hear from him and see what he has to say and the process finishes itself one way or the other, I have to reserve my judgment and think as I always do. You're innocent until you prove yourself guilty or you're proven guilty.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about Miguel Cabrera and the Detroit Tigers real quickly, as well as the Anaheim Angels, or the Los Angeles Angels, whatever they call it now. Because, again, we're getting into the baseball season. And pitchers and catchers report in about 10 to 11 days. And I'm getting my baseball itch. Hopefully I'll be somewhere where I can do the draft instead of having a online auto pick.
Good luck. Good luck. Wow.
I know, dude. I might need you to head the funding collection.
Okay.
Set it up through LeagueSafe.
Right.
I'll make you a commissioner. But if I can't get things done before I take off, I'm going to need some help.
That's not a problem. When you taking off?
End of the month.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So it's going to be one of those type deals.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, excuse me. I want to talk about Anaheim. A lot of folks were talking about who should be the number one overall pick in fantasy baseball this year. And Miguel Cabrera, being a Triple Crown winner, people are saying, yeah, he should be the Triple Crown. I mean, he should be the number one overall pick. He's average, home runs, RBIs, doesn't make many errors. He's protected by Prince Wilbur and a couple of guys up there in Detroit. But I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I'm looking at Mike Trout. I'm honestly looking at Mike Trout as being the number one overall pick. I know this second year in the league, but the things LA has put around this guy to protect him, it's crazy. And then I look at a team such as Atlanta, where if I can get the Upton brothers cheaply, because not that many people are expecting much out of the Braves. But let's break down the Angels real quick, if you don't mind. Well, let me ask you. Just out of pure speculation, who do you feel should be the number one overall pick in fantasy baseball this year? Is it Miguel Cabrera? Is it not Cabrera. Not Trout. It was another guy I was thinking about. Oh, man. Just escaped my mind that quickly. But who do you feel should be the number one overall pick?
It's a toss up. I mean, you named two guys that are a strong pick. The top, they're probably one of the top two or three. But I think in my bang for the buck, Mike Trout only done it once. You got to prove to me that you can do it again. I got to believe, because this was his rookie season, that next year he's going to take a back. He's going to fall back a little bit because the pitchers are going to be adjust to him, and because of what they call the so-called sophomore jinx, I got to believe he's going to fall off a little bit. Maybe not that much, but he's going to fall off from his what he had this year, and the potential people projecting that if he played all year, what he would have. I think he's going to take a hit because of the pitchers adjusting to him, and it's going to take him a while to adjust to that. My bang for the buck, the guys who's been more consistent, and he's been tied to PEDs, but I like this guy a lot, the guy from the Milwaukee Brewers, Ryan Braun.
Yeah, Ryan Braun as number one overall?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
You asked my opinion. I gave you my opinion. Who won the league last year? That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. And
okay.
Some of the things that the people didn't agree with what I was doing, making moves, but I won the league from start to finish. So I understand what you're saying. This is my feeling. I like Ryan Braun as the number one pick.
Okay. I got to disagree. And
I know you. That's no problem.
The reason why I'm picking Trout is more than just his abilities of last year. You have Josh Hamilton and Albert Pujols sandwiching
mm-hmm.
this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got already a very good infield of hitters defensive players around him. This kid is hungry. He's young. He can really hurt people. I'll tell you right now. I mean, I would put Matt Kemp above Ryan Braun, even though, you know, Kemp had an injury-plagued season last year. But look what they've added. They've added Gonzalez. They've added a couple more bats to help out Kemp in the outfield. And he
mm-hmm.
also had another teammate out there who was injured as well. I can't remember his name right now. But Ryan Braun is a lone gun in Milwaukee. Now, I got it. Talent, he's consistent. Ryan Braun is consistent. I got it. But I would not put him at the number one player overall. I mean,
okay.
You put him above Miguel Cabrera?
Yes.
Please explain to me why you have him above Miguel Cabrera.
I like Ryan Braun. I like his consistency, for one. And I think he's going to have even a better year last year better year this year than he had last year. I expect Miguel Cabrera, he had a career year, triple crown winner, okay? He's going to fall back. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to fall back. And along with Mike Trout, he's going to fall back because career year tells me Miguel Cabrera is not going to match those numbers. So anybody who's drafting him as the number one is chasing last year's numbers. Same thing with Mike Braun. Same thing with Mike Trout. Rookie of the year, he's going to get adjusted with pitchers. He's going to take a back seat. So if you're thinking that his numbers are going to go up or he's going to have the same numbers, you're going to be mistaken. And this is just my opinion. He's going to take a step back because the pitchers are going to adjust to him, and it's going to take a while for him to adjust to what the pitchers are doing to him. Ryan Braun is a consistent all-star, and I just like the direction he's going. I like Ryan Braun number one. No doubt in my mind. Andrew McCutchen, this is top five I'm thinking. Andrew Mike Trout, not necessarily in this order. Mike Trout, Ryan Braun, Miguel Cabrera, Andrew McCutchen, and Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp had a injury-plagued season. He's got to prove it to me. I understand they enhanced the lineup. He's got to show me he's going to be consistent. And these are the flaws I see in these top five players. Andrew McCutchen had a career year. I think he's going to take a little step back. I don't think he's going to be as good as he was last year, but he's going to be a very good player. Same thing with Miguel Cabrera. He had a career year. I don't think he's going to have the same numbers. I think he takes a step back. Mike Trout, rookie, first year. Pitchers didn't really adjust to him. They're going to be adjusting to him next year. They know what to look for in Mike Trout. He's going to have to adjust from them. That's why I'm saying Ryan Braun. He's been consistent over the last few years. That's who I like, consistency, not saying that he won't take a step back. I don't think he will. But I think Ryan Braun, in my opinion, out of those first five guys, has got probably less downside than the other four guys.
Okay, I'm going to throw one more person at you, then we're going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Votto. Where does Joey Votto fit in there? Is he a top 10 guy?
No.
Is he, really?
Nope.
Why is that? Why do you feel that way?
I just don't like Joey Votto. There's other guys that are better than Joey Votto that I think are going to have a better year than Joey Votto. He's not that far out of the top 10, but Jose Bautista, Carlos Gonzalez, Troy Tulowitzki is coming back, and he's going to be healthy. Albert Pujols, Robinson Cano, Matt Kemp, Andre McCutcheon, Miguel Cabrera, Ryan Braun, and Mike Trout are going to be better than Joey Votto, in my opinion. Now, I could be wrong. All depends on who gets injured and who starts off slow or ends up slow, but that's who I like in the top 10.
Okay. All right. I'm just interested in your thought process. It's rather interesting.
It's a winner's thought process.
Your mom's not there, dude.
You keep on believing what you want to believe, but the money is in my pocket and the championship is also. And it wasn't anything to do with mom.
Whatever, dude. It had a lot to do with mom.
Not at all.
And I heard her.
You know what it had to do? You know what had to do, and this is the truth. You know what had to do? My mother, because my father died when I was 10 years old, passed away when I was 10 years old, my mother had a lot to do with me liking baseball, okay? Not teaching me the game of baseball, but liking baseball, being interested in baseball, sitting down and watching baseball with my mother.
So, again, I have to thank your mom for this knowledge.
Giving me the interest in baseball to be able to get the knowledge. Thank you.
All right. Okay. I'll stop. Whatever. We'll see. But anyway, I just wanted to go over those. I'm going to do more if I get an opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it, but I hope that you're able to do more breakdowns. I wanted to do a breakdown of each division, AL East, West, South, and Central, NL, same way.
Sure. That's no problem.
That way we can get our folks ready, since pitchers report and catchers report in a couple of days. We can get a head start on that. And if you wouldn't mind, and I'm serious when I say this, find a way to include your mom on one of the shows. I'm dead serious when I say that. I'm not being played.
Are you serious?
Like,
are you serious?
Yes, I'm dead serious.
Okay.
I would love to have your mom and her knowledge come on the show in my absence so that somebody can keep you in line. Somebody's going to have to keep you in line. And
no
mom,
one can keep me in line.
Whatever.
I've been a free spirit for quite a while, let me tell you.
It's all right. You can have your daffodils and your boas and your rainbows, free spirit. But mom is going to be able to give you the information, or give the listeners the information, and control you, you know.
Control me.
Yes.
You're
control
a funny guy.
That loose cannon of yours.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm dead serious, though. I'm dead serious when I say
that. I know you are.
Because she gave you some good advice, man. Seriously. It worked for you. She gave you the interest and insight. But let's move on to football as we gear up for the Super Bowl.
Psyched, man. I'm very psyched.
Before we get there, because we have a couple more things we're going to talk about,
There
are two very, very how should I say this? Affordable and very sought after players hitting the free agent market possibly this year once the Super Bowl ends. And we're going to hear from both of them right now. This one is coming from Green Bay. Now that Donald Driver has retired, Greg Jennings says he doesn't know what his future lies with the Pack. That doesn't leave the Pack a lot of wiggle room with their young talent. Here's what Greg Jennings has to say about his situation.
I don't know specifics on, I can't give an exact answer, but I'm open. I would love to be in Green Bay, but if change comes about, I and my family and I, we're ready for change. We're excited about this opportunity, and we're going to embrace it.
That sounds to me like a man ready to go to a different team.
Let me inject something real quick.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I heard about this about a week ago, that Greg Jennings has sold his home in Green Bay.
He has?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's a major step. I mean, that says you have no plans on making a deal with Green Bay.
None that could be vice versa, too, though. That could be vice versa. Even though they may be giving you lip service, that could be vice versa.
Well, I mean, Green Bay is notorious for, you know, not being the biggest market, but their title town. They paid a few players. I don't know how much value they put in that position of wide receiver, seeing as though they've got the young guys. And what's his name? The guy that Jones finally came on this year, instead of being so inconsistent, because I believe it was a contract year for Jones as well. Then you've got Jordy Nelson, who came in on last year, but suffered through many, many injuries this year, and Randall Cobb. I don't know if it's a wise move for the GM of Green Bay to just go ahead and put aside Jennings, or say, okay, Jennings, you're 31, 32, your best years are behind you, and thank you for your service, you can move on. I believe Greg Jennings has a couple more years, or three or four more years, left in his bag that he can be a top performer.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right about that.
So to hear the news that he already sold his home.
Well, let me put it this way. He's selling his home. He put it on the market. So one way or the other, whether he sold his home or selling his home, the idea is that he doesn't think he's going to be, in my opinion, when a player does that, it means he no longer thinks he's going to be part of the team that where he lives. So
something just popped in my head. This came across as a question on NFL Network. What if he goes to Minnesota and you pair him up with Percy Harvin, AT, and Randolph?
Okay.
You know, does that make Ponder a better quarterback or a more fantasy-friendly quarterback?
No. I mean, Christian Ponder's got to prove a lot. I understand that would just give him an added weapon, but he still has Percy Harvin there. He's got Kyle Rudolph and some other pretty decent weapons.
Simpson could be a good number two, number three guy.
He has to improve his mechanics and his vision of looking down the field in order to be a better quarterback. So, Christian Ponder's got some work to do in the off season to help improve himself, so he can help improve the team in the passing game. There's probably talk that Jennings may go to his old coach, which is in Miami. So, you know, let me put it this way: anybody can use a wide receiver with the skill set of Greg Jennings that needs a wide receiver. So if he goes on an open market, if he's not going to be retained by Green Bay, then there's going to be quite a few teams that are going to be knocking on the door, because he's not over the hill and he still has a lot of ability.
I agree with you. And I believe you got my cousin online.
Why not go to the Texans?
That would be good. You know what? That would be a great move, because
yes,
that would give the Texans two bona fide top-flight wide receivers,
mm-hmm.
A running game, and an all-star defense that might just push them over the top.
Mm-hmm.
If if Matt Schaub can maintain, because let's face it, he has maybe one or two years left. I know he signed a contract a couple of years ago, but they're going to start looking for his replacement soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, give him a couple more tools, because Walter is good, but he's not that threat. But let's bring in my cousin, Mike, and see what he thinks about this Greg Jennings situation.
Greg Jennings?
Yeah.
Greg Jennings. I don't know. I mean, Green Bay is stupid if they let him go. You know, they real stupid. I don't think that's a good. I don't know how their finances is looking, but I know they are. You know, they are one of the smallest teams. You know, one of the smallest markets in the NFL. But I don't know, man. If Jennings go though, I would love to see him. Even though I know we ain't got no money, I would love to see him in the good burgundy and gold, but we ain't got no money. So,
yeah, we spent it all on Pierre.
And Greg Jennings will be 30 come September.
Oh, you know what? No, then I wouldn't want to see him in burgundy and gold. That's his only drawback. Yeah, he's a little too old.
Well, that's the thought process. I think Green Bay has to, because they have three young wide receivers. One who's been inconsistent up until this year, another who came on last year but suffered this year, and Randall Cobb, who they found many ways to use him. So I would say he's a pretty sure lock to stay in the game for a couple of years at a cheap price. But I didn't think about Miami. Only reason why I think about Miami, Jerry, is because you have a second-year quarterback with no running game. Reggie Bush looks like he's not going to come back. Daniels.
He's not coming back?
No. Daniels.
Why? What's wrong?
Apparently there's an issue between he and the head coach again, and how they see Reggie Bush as a feature back. They don't see him as a feature back.
Okay.
Reggie wants to be a feature back, and he's about to hit the market. And it's a chance that he could be done in the NFL if he doesn't get a starting job.
There's always going to be a room for a back like Reggie Bush, and don't discount the running back that was played in near the end of the season last year. Excuse me, in the end of the season last year, as a sleeper for next year, Mr. Lamar Miller. So,
well, that's part of the reason why, you know, they're like, okay, well, we have a younger back
mm-hmm.
that can do everything that Reggie does without all the fuss. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Philbin is more of this, you're going to do what I say, and you're not going to talk back to me. You know, and to see Greg Jennings.
His neck
Miami,
is a little red.
Well, oh, jeez. Greg Jennings.
I was just making a comment.
Because of the sun.
Yeah, because, yeah, you know, sunburns on his neck.
Oh,
yeah.
No. No, I think that.
Let's not go there.
Come on, Vic. Come on, Vic.
That was
come
nice.
On.
That nah. Jerry, that was nice, wasn't it, Jerry? That was nice.
Yes,
that
it was.
That was a nice one.
Yes.
Okay. At any rate.
You wanted me to, you wanted the wild card to not say anything, but that's okay. I won't say anything because this is your
okay.
show, and I won't say anything.
Because, you know, from next week on, you're going to say whatever you want and drive the ratings in the toilet.
Macau. No, don't say that. Macau.
Yes, sir.
You didn't listen to the beginning of the show, but...
Shut up, Jerry.
Until April 20... No, why you say that? He's going to know anyway. From this day forth until April 27th, when your cousin comes back, I'll be doing four shows: Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yo, man. You know what, man? I don't know what's wrong with my cousin. You over there, John, slave driving. I don't know what he's doing.
He's got an obligation for his country that he's got to take care of.
Yeah. We let him slide on that. We give him a pass for that one. We ain't going to see.
Oh, my God.
So me being his right-hand man. And
that's right.
Okay. I'm going to handle it for him, which is not a problem. Never has been.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Some backdoor stuff. You're talking about the
you know
pension.
What? I'm being truthful here, and I'm being sincere, and you're going to tell me that?
Not you. Well, you, yeah, you. But my cousin's going to egg it on, and you're going to support it. But that's why I say your mom has to come on the show and be the one that keeps you under control. I already told you that. Your mom has a standing invite, and I'm serious about that.
I know you do. I know you do. I know
all
you
right.
do. I have to talk to my mother and to see if she'd be willing to do that.
Okay. She'll have to do every show. But, you know, baseball.
I understand.
Baseball. Let's move on.
Go ahead.
To another player that's going to hit the market. And Jerry has said that this player is a dependent player in the past. And he's not a true number one. However, to one quarterback, he's been the dependable player for their team. And I'm talking about Victor Cruz.
Hopefully more sooner than later. I think, you know, myself and my team are negotiating as we speak with Giants front office, and hopefully we can come to an agreement on a situation and get myself locked into New York for a very long time.
So, JT ATM.
Yes.
You got a younger guy.
Yes.
Who you feel is not a number one player.
No.
And is dependent upon Hakeem Nicks or another star receiver.
Right.
To flourish. Let's say the Giants decide, you know what? We're not even going to franchise tag. We're going to let you test open market.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Victor Cruz gets the money to be the number one wide receiver on any team? And if so, would he sign with that team just for the money and not a possibility of making it to the Super Bowl again as he did with the Giants?
Well, first of all, I don't think Victor Cruz is the number one wide receiver. I think he's
amen to that.
I think he's dependent on a number one wide receiver, and he benefits from that. And it was obvious he benefited from that when Hakeem Nicks was in their lineup and when he was out. The numbers speak for themselves. So if he signs as a wide receiver, he's not going to be the number one. They may pay him because they have cap space to pay him, but they're not going to pay him as a number one wide receiver. He as long as he signs with another team that's got a number one like a Calvin Johnson or Andre Johnson or even Larry Fitzgerald or somebody that's an outstanding number one wide receiver, he'll flourish as the number two. But if they sign him to be the number one, he has that four-letter word that nobody wants to hear: bust.
Well, yeah, I'll say this, and I'm going to let Mikey get in on the conversation, too. I'm glad you brought up Arizona because Bruce Arians was on NFL Network all day yesterday, and, you know, he was talking about how they're going to find guys to come in and be the quarterback and stuff like that, but he also needs to find somebody to compliment Larry Fitzgerald because Greg Doucette's a good guy. The other receiver is a good receiver.
Andre Roberts, and Michael Floyd. They're all good receivers. They need a quarterback.
Yeah. So, but with that, Cruz brings the experience that they're looking for. But I think Arians is going to stick with the young cats. That's a good idea that you brought it up. I see him going to somewhere like San Diego where there really isn't a true number one because Michael Floyd's a very good player, but he was dependent upon who? Vincent Jackson the last couple of years before last year. You didn't hear much about Michael Floyd this year, even though he had a pretty decent year. Eddie Royal didn't do what they needed him to do in San Diego. I don't know if he's going to return there or not. Nene or whatever his name is, and none of them were standouts. I think you can pay... If you're San Diego and the Giants don't go ahead and pay Victor Cruz, I think you can pay Victor Cruz number one money. Keep Malcolm Floyd there and, you know, raise the level of play at the wide receiver position with Victor Cruz. Because Malcolm Floyd is a big body, similar to Hakeem Nicks, who can stretch the field while Victor Cruz plays underneath an occasional deep threat. just my thought process. What do you think about that, Mike?
No, I think the Giants are signing for a less amount of money that he wants. He'll stick being a Giant. I don't see them. I think his value to them is his youth. And I believe that they will, lock him up for at least 3 to 4 years and give him a suitable contract. It won't be something crazy that he really, really wants. But I don't foresee him getting out of New York.
Okay. I mean, he might not, but this is all speculation on possible landing places. So I can agree with you. Before we get to the Super Bowl, we've got a Super Bowl player and a guy that used to quarterback the Cardinals. Since we're on the Cardinals and we're talking about the Super Bowl, Kurt Warner. And Kurt Warner was recently asked about Spygate and how that affected his opportunity to have another Super Bowl victory. Let's see what Kurt Warner had to say about that.
I think the question is always going to be there, just because something went on. So,
yeah.
So there's always going to be a question when your name or your team, especially at the Super Bowl, is brought up. But it's so long ago. And bygones be bygones, and, you appreciate, me personally, I appreciate everything that happened in my career. I appreciated that game.
And again, that's Kurt Warner talking about the last Super Bowl appearance he had with the Rams and the Spygate situation with the Patriots. I think it's time to get over that whole Spygate thing. Someone pointed out that the Patriots have been to the Super Bowl about 4 times since then and has lost all 4 times. Since that last Super Bowl victory, and without it, they don't feel that the Patriots can never win the Super Bowl again, and thus ending Tom Brady and the Bill Belichick era on that last Super Bowl victory. I want to get you guys' thoughts on that before we move on to the next soundbite.
Well, I totally agree with that. I've been saying that before. They may have been to the Super Bowl, and it takes a lot to get to the Super Bowl. But ever since that Spygate came out, and they won their Super Bowls prior to that Spygate coming out, they haven't gotten over the hump and won a Super Bowl. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, to me, it's a duck. So maybe those other Super Bowl wins were tainted because they were doing this thing that they got caught of after the last Super Bowl that they won. So I'm just saying, to me it's quite obvious, but to a lot of other people, the speculation is, well, it takes a lot, not speculation, well, it's that the standard is, well, they've gotten to 5 Super Bowls, and it takes a lot to get to the Super Bowls, even though they haven't won the last few that they've gotten to. But it is what it is, and I thoroughly believe, because they didn't have that added edge of the Spygate and being able to spy on them and catch film of what the other team was practicing, they didn't have that one edge. And it is what it is for me.
Right. What are your thoughts?
I don't know, man. This stuff is real gray to me. And that's real hard because I live in the gray. All in the gray. This is what I do for a living. Between government and the contractors and business and all that kind of carrying on, I'm all in the gray. This right here, I'm still scratching my head about. I have no clue what is up with the Patriots. No clue what's up with them. No clue.
Okay. Well, I mean, we should be honest about it. Well, speaking of no clue, I want to get you guys' opinion on what you would tell Alex Smith. I want you to give me like a 1 minute, 2 minute conversation that you would have with Alex Smith in his current situation? And I'm going to start with you, Michael. And, Jerry, I want you to follow up after Michael.
Mm-hmm.
What size ring you going to wear?
That's all you're going to ask him?
That's all I'm going to ask him.
Oh, my God. All right, so you're missing
See, you know why? Hold on, Vic. I say stuff that's so profound and so high on you. You got to sit back and think. You got to think. I didn't say so many things in just that one statement, but you took it. You take it like, you know, I'm on some old joke time.
What I'm saying is,
number one, yo, you were there. He was there when this whole thing was being built. He was.
Correct.
He was there in the 6-11 years. I mean, 5-11 years. He was there. He was there, you know, when Harbaugh came along. Harbaugh coached him up, and he got him, you know, one play away from the Super Bowl last year. Right? This man should not feel bad at all about anything. He has contributed to this victory that's going to happen tomorrow. Period. So, again, I ask, what size ring you gonna wear?
Okay.
I understood what you were saying, McCown.
That's not what I was trying to get to.
Yeah, but I understand. So, Alex, I understand you've been through the hard times, you've been through the good times, and you've been a good soldier in this. I understand that most of the time you don't lose your job to an injury, but I felt the move had to be made, and you've been a good soldier for the most part. You've kept quiet about your possible displeasure. You probably are probably not happy with your coach. You probably felt betrayed by your coach. But understand this: you are a part of a team, and even though you're not playing, you are contributing to this team by helping Colin do his job and do it well on the field, and you will be rewarded either by staying here with us or by moving on and hopefully to a starting position where they'll be able to exploit your talents and like you want them.
All right. That's what Kurt Warner would say to Alex.
I would tell Alex, don't forget how big a part of this whole thing you are. I think it's easy now, last 10 weeks, and we're in the Super Bowl, and everybody kind of pushes him to the side. But I really believe the way he's played over the last year and a half taught this team that, hey, we can be a championship-type team. We can compete for a Super Bowl.
So I would tell Alex Smith, a mixture of what you both said, again, what Michael expounded on was how important he was, how he helped build the team the way it was. He managed the team, and he was an integral part of the success last year and this year. But then I also give him his walking papers, like Jerry said, which is, you know, you're not going to get this job back. We cannot open it up for a competition because Kaepernick is what we're moving toward and how this organization is going to be. However, if you were willing to take a reduced salary to continue being on this team, I'd be more than happy to keep you. If not, you are free to test the market and attempt to make the type of money and starting position that you're looking for. I think Alex Smith is in a no-lose situation other than the fact that the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl. He can either be a backup and be paid a couple million dollars, or he can go to a team and try to compete for a starting position and do a one-year contract. It's contingent upon his playing, because right now everybody knows, or everybody in organizations and outside of the NFL feel, that Alex Smith his success was based upon the offense that Harbaugh brought in that accentuated his brain, his cerebral assets as a quarterback, not his athletic ability. There are still teams in the NFL that will run the ball hard and throw it second, Miami being one of them. Now, will they come in and let Alex Smith compete for Tannehill's job? I doubt it. But is he better than Kevin Cobb? I don't know. And here's the question I want to ask both of you before we move on. You have Michael Vick, Kevin Cobb, Alex Smith, David Garrard, and a host of other free agent quarterbacks out there, or who will be free agent quarterbacks out there this year. Who is the best quarterback out there that gives you the most upside or the opportunity to win? Jerry, I'll go with you first.
On what team?
Any team.
It makes a difference on what team you're talking about. Because,
okay. No doubt.
I'm asking if you're taking over as the coach of a team, okay? You're
mm-hmm.
the coach. You have your own personal philosophy.
Right.
Which quarterback of the ones I named or one that I did not name that's a free agent or will be a free agent that you feel you want to surround or start your 10 years as a coach as until you find your number one quarterback
wow.
in the draft or whatever?
Well, first of all, of the quarterbacks you just named, the Michael Vick probably has the biggest upside, but the more risk, and he's an older quarterback. Alex Smith has shown a good progression over the last years, but I'm not sure if that's not because of the coach and because the coach was a former quarterback and he understands the psyche of a quarterback. Kevin Cobb would never touch with a 10-foot pole. Believe it or not, and this is probably going to surprise you, I would try to make a trade, and not for a free agent, but I would try to make a trade and start my team with a quarterback from Seattle called Matt Bryant.
Matt Flynn?
Matt Flynn, I'm sorry. Matt Flynn, yes. Matt Flynn.
Okay. All right. Okay. Mike?
I'm going with Vic. I believe in high risk, high reward.
Even though he's at a far advanced age?
Even though he's at a far advanced age. You said, who would I come in and start off with my team with until I find my guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would be Michael Vick.
Why?
Because I'm a high risk, high reward dude. Michael Vick gives me the opportunity to play the style of play that is being played in the NFL today. He gives me more of an opportunity than any of those players you even name.
Okay.
Any of them.
Well,
no?
Chip Kelly doesn't like any of them. And he's actually looking at getting Dixon.
Yes, you're right. Yep.
As his starting quarterback in Philly, because
mm-hmm.
he was his quarterback in Oregon. He went
mm-hmm.
to Pittsburgh. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. That's easy. He knows it.
Well, Dixon.
He knows him. The guy
the
knows his
right
offense.
Now.
You know.
Yeah. Dixon's on the street right now. He didn't play in the NFL last year, and he will prefer to have that guy implement his system and run it. Is that a good move for the Philadelphia Eagles with the possibility of having like a Matt Castle or a Matt Flynn or keeping Michael Vick? Why not keep Michael Vick, who is the same skill set as Dixon? Anybody?
Well, in my opinion, I wouldn't keep Michael Vick. He hasn't been able to keep on stay on the field for a full 16-game season, and he's too fragile. Takes too many mistakes. I mean, makes too many mistakes, and takes too much of a risk doesn't know how to slide, and he's too fragile. I got to go in a different direction, especially if I'm a brand new coach and I want to implement my system. I got to go in a different way. And if I can, if I'm able to get a 28-year-old Dennis Dixon, who's been in my system before, I that's a comfort level I can't resist.
Okay. All right. Well. All right.
When you put that list out, you didn't say Dixon.
No.
You didn't say Dixon at all.
I said anybody that's available.
I think it's a really good move. You know, you definitely want to start off with somebody that you know, and that you work with, somebody that's worked with you. Definitely.
I
believe in that synergy. You know what? I refuse to believe that the NFL is a plug and play league. I just don't get with that. I just don't get how these organizations keep doing that. They just keep doing plug and play, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
What do you mean by plug and play, then, Mikal?
What I mean by plug and play is like, you know, they'll come in. You come in for 3 years. You bring in Norvell Turner, and you have this particular offense, and you have all these particular players set up in this particular philosophy of offense. Then the next year, you get rid of Norvell, you know what I'm saying, and then you get rid of that offensive scheme plan. You keep certain players, and then you get rid of other players. And then I'm just not with the plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
Stick with something consistent. You know what I'm saying? Stick with it consistently.
Well, the only reason it can be consistent if you win. If you don't win, then that's the reason why you get a carousel of different coaches coming in. You're trying to find the right formula to be a long-term coach and stay on the same organization for a period of time.
Well, I understand that, Jerry. That's not what I'm arguing against.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't perform, you're out. I'm not saying anything to that.
Right.
What I'm saying is these organizations, they don't stick to a blueprint that works for that organization, period, no matter what. Like, if you look at the Giants and you look at the Steelers, they have run the same type of offense, the same type of defense for years.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Philosophy. We talked about, I think we talked about this several weeks ago. I don't know, and I forget what program.
Yeah, we have.
The organization has to have a philosophy in order to be able to thrive. If they jump all around because of whatever coach they bring in, that's when they get in trouble. So these organizations that have been successful, just like you're talking about, Mikal, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New York Giants, and New England Patriots, they have a certain philosophy from the top all the way down to the coach, or from the top, let me put it that way. And regardless of what coach comes in there, they're going to make that coach fit their philosophy, not the change the philosophy when the coach comes in there. That's the successful organizations. I truly believe that, and you're right. I truly believe those are the organizations that are consistent and are able to be successful over the years.
And part of that is the fact that they stick with their Pittsburgh Steelers, that is, they stick with their coach. They've had very few coaches
three.
In their history. Yeah. So it's not like they're looking for a change every other year because style of play has changed. They want a particular type of person. And with that being said, let's talk about the Hall of Fame. I'm going to give you my list of people and why they should be in the Hall of Fame, and I want you guys to take these current finalists and give me your list and why you think they should be in, because the announcement comes out later on today. I'm going to say Jonathan Ogden versus Will Shields. Ogden played outside tackle position, left tackle position, for the Baltimore Ravens, and he played it at a very, very high level. but the problem is, you know, well, not the problem, but Ogden didn't have a partner, like a guard, to assist him and do things like Shields did. Shields was a guard who had Willie Rolfe, a Hall of Famer, to help him look good and make holes for Priest Holmes and Christian Okoye and all those other guys in Kansas City. But Jonathan Ogden really didn't have that partner when it came to pass protection or run protection or run situations from his position. So I'm putting Jonathan Ogden in over Will Shields. I know Will Shields has been waiting a longer time, but with Ruff going in last year, I don't think Shields should go in this year, only because Ogden, to me, is a better candidate. I go to the receivers. Unfortunately, I think Tim Brown doesn't get in this year because of this whole blow-up that took place. And again, I brought up last week, I think it hurt him more than helping him because the paranoia issue. Whether or not Callahan threw it or not, I don't know. I'm not going to say he did. But according to Tim Brown and other players, it sure seemed like it. So I don't put him in. Andre Reed, because of the style of offense that his team played, which was revolutionary for the time in the NFL, because that's what the NFL is now, I would say he was a pioneer, but he had more opportunities than a Tim Brown. Even though Jerry Rice compiled more yards and more receptions and stuff like that throughout his career, at the time Andre Reed retired, Jerry Rice was a leader in some of those categories, not all of them. But I don't think that he gets in, so therefore I put Chris Carter in. I put Chris Carter in because I believe he deserves that opportunity to be in the Hall of Fame this year. He was a stalwart of that organization on a team that was still balanced football. You know, they ran the ball with Smith, and they threw the ball. It was him, Andre Reed, and then when Randy Moss came about, his numbers just got better. But he was consistent throughout. Even when he left the Philadelphia Eagles because of the substance abuse issue and went to Minnesota Vikings, he flourished. So I think Chris Carter gets in. Now, to the other side of the ball,
Charles Haley.
Charles Haley or Warren Sapp. I love Sapp. I love what he did for the defensive tackle position, but it's just time for Charles Haley in the Hall of Fame. I think he deserves the opportunity going to the Hall of Fame because if you're not going to take away other players off the field indiscretions or their attitudes with the media, put them in the Hall of Fame. You know, Michael Irvin, he didn't lead his position in catches or yards or touchdowns and all that, but his persona got him in the Hall of Fame, and he was one of the most troubled people in the world. You know, and he still is, even though he's calmed down quite a bit. I think Charles Haley deserves to go in. I think Warren Sapp will go in next year, in my opinion. If Warren Sapp and John Randall were in the same class, I would put Warren Sapp. But it just so happens that he's going up against Charles Haley. I think Charles Haley, he's the only man that has 5 Super Bowl rings. Only one. I mean, if that doesn't speak volumes for his abilities and what he means to a team, you know, and he wasn't just the guy that got on a team just to get a Super Bowl ring. He contributed to those teams. So I had him going in. Art Modell, I had him going in as well because of what he meant to the NFL and the AFL. And Vashadi said it on NFL Network when he did the interview with Rich Eisen. If you're going to judge or you're not put Art Modell in the Hall of Fame because he moved a team from one place to another, you know, then why did you put Davis in? Why did you put a few other owners in who did the exact same thing. You know, so I think Modell should go in. There was a few others. I can't think of them right now, but those are the hot ones I had on the top of my head. Real quickly, can you please give me some?
What's the max number that you can put in?
Seven.
Seven. I got five. Okay. All right.
I put my four or five there.
Okay. I think these two guys are warranted. First time. Well, one's a first time. The other one's long overdue. I think Warren Sapp, he changed the game at the defensive tackle position. When you do change the game at the defensive tackle position, game planned against because of his ability, I think that's a Hall of Fame type of thing, the impact of the game. I think Warren Sapp goes in there. I agree with you that Charles Haley is long overdue. Going into the Hall of Fame, I don't know why he's not in there at all. He should have long ago been in there. Innovator, helped to create the AFL. And the only thing, the bad thing about it was he moved his team, and that was held against him by the fans in Cleveland. But Art Modell should definitely go into the Hall of Fame. Chris Carter, I'm a huge Chris Carter fan. Been for quite a while. All he does is score touchdowns, and that was his mantra, and that was one of the things that he did a lot of in Philadelphia, Minnesota, and Miami.
Know that.
I do like Chris Carter to go in. I think Jonathan Ogden is another one that, in my opinion, should go in. He was a hell of an offensive tackle for quite a while until he finished his career in 2007. I'm up in the air about the final two that I think should go in.
Jerome Bettis.
Yes, you know what? I am a running back friendly guy, and I think Jerome Bettis is a first time Hall of Famer coming up, and I think he should go in. And the last one I'm really up in the air about, whether it be Will Shields or Eddie DiBartolo, I think I'm going to lean to the other owner of the San Francisco 49ers who put the 49ers back on the map when he was an owner from the mid 70s to the turn of the century in 2000. So that's my in fact, that's what I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Will Shields, Jerome Bettis, and then Eddie DiBartolo.
You're putting two owners in.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I like DiBartolo. He has an opportunity. I think he should also go, but I don't think he should go ahead of Art Modell or with Modell. I think Modell should go ahead of him. Maybe next year for Eddie DiBartolo. Just my opinion. What you got,
mm-hmm.
man? Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? Right. Yeah.
Who do you think should be the 5 to 7 players going to the Hall of Fame this year?
Jerry, you just broke my heart, bro.
What's
oh,
that?
My God. I can't stand Chris Carter. Oh.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Every time I see him, I just want to punch the dude in the face.
Okay.
Why?
Oh, man, that dude has a serious hatred for the Washington Redskins. He seriously does. He seriously does. Every time that dude get a chance, he takes a whack to my skins. Maybe it's because we always denied him a chance to play in the Super Bowl, but, you know, I digress. I think Andre Reed is definitely deserving. He definitely needs to go through. Haley,
wow.
It's time. You know, it is definitely time. I mean, anytime you have a guy like Michael Irvin in, I mean, really? Come on. I mean, I know Haley used to, you know, get naked in front of them dudes a lot. They ain't like that kind of carrying on. All them pranks he used to play, but he's still, what, he got 6 Super Bowls? What, 5 or 6?
Five.
Five Super Bowl rings.
Right.
That's a lot.
Right. Yes.
That's a lot. So he definitely needs to be in there. How many is that? One, two, three, go ahead, give it to Warren Sapp. He should go ahead in there. I don't know. Can they both go in at the same time?
They can, but it is not likely.
See,
NFL is not likely to include.
Mikal, you finish it because I want to make a statement after that.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
I don't understand what's the quota they have on whether they have a certain amount of one from each position. I don't understand that. I mean, I think last year they had two guys from the same position, but it seems like whether it's a running back or a wide receiver, they only can let one of them in. And then they have to go in a different direction. I don't understand why, if the guy is worthy, whether it's two guys from the wide receiver position or whatever position they are, they can't go in at the same time. They got to split it out.
Yeah, I think that's really stupid.
Yeah, they got to split it out and make it. I understand about making it even, but if these two guys are worthy of whether it's the first time or the second time or third time or whatever time it is on the ballot. If they're worthy, they should go in, regardless of what position they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the way it is. I mean, we can't change that. I wish we could.
Why can't you?
Exactly.
I don't know. That's just the way the writers and the journalists feel. And one thing that was brought up on, again, NFL Network, they were discussing having a former or a Hall of Famer in the room just to observe how they do it, you know, so they can go ahead and give their input, because these are just, not just, but journalists who haven't played on the NFL level or have never played football at all, but the thought was they've covered football for X amount of years, so they have some expertise of what's going on with these football players. And like you said, when Charles Henry was dropping trial and stuff like that, some of these reporters, male and female, whatever, that made them uncomfortable, you know, there was an issue. Well, okay, but you can't put that against them, because you got Lawrence Taylor, who was, you know, smoking crack and cocaine and doing it to underage women and stuff like that, but he's still in there. You know, you got folks in there that have far worse crimes against humanity in the Hall of Fame versus Charles Haley. But, you know, the NFL Hall of Fame committee will do whatever it is they feel they need to do in order to put the people in. I just want us to see the right people get in, just in my opinion. So that's all that is. Now let's move on to the actual Super Bowl itself.
And my $100 entering my PayPal account.
Whatever, homie. I expect my money on Tuesday.
Hey.
If I lose, you might have to get yours by my payday. But we'll see.
Oh, that's a double standard, man. What's up with that?
I said maybe. I want my money. You know, you're going to give me my money on Tuesday, because that's what you're getting.
Listen, you listen to your brother, right? I mean, your cousin, right, Mikal?
Yeah.
You listen to your cousin, right?
I hear him.
I'm giving you an extra day. You know, you're just giving me a couple more days. You know, you don't have to pay me on Monday. I'm giving it to Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, but I got to pay you 2 days after, and then I got to wait. If you lose, I got to wait. So where is that fair?
You're retired. I'm still working, you know. Your kids are out of the house. Mine are still in.
Okay.
But let's move on. Couple more sound bites with 10 minutes left in the show, so I appreciate everybody listening in. We're talking about people that want to be Hall of Famers or should be Hall of Famers. Here's one sound bite from Patrick Willis, who feels that he deserves to be, or he wants to be, in the Hall of Fame, and he thinks he is the best at his position.
Ever since I was a kid, you know, I've always wanted to be the best in whatever it is I was doing. But as I've always wanted to be the best, I know that there always be, you know, opinions. There always be opinions out there of who's the best. And for me, you know, I just want to just continue to play the game and play as hard as I can play it.
And there's another soundbite where he says, I deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. So, well, I feel as though I can be a Hall of Famer. And
well,
in this game, he's going to have the opportunity.
That's different. That's different. What you said were two different statements.
He didn't say he feels he should be in the Hall of Fame. He says that he has the ability to be a Hall of Famer. So I'll just clarify that. I don't want to get sued because I ain't got no money. But in this game, he has an opportunity to put that legacy on a wide stage and show off that he can be that, that guy. We also are going to hear that Frank Gore feels that someone else other than himself and not even a 49er will be the MVP of the Super Bowl. That's what Frank Gore has to say.
Ray Rice, you know, he a big, you know, he do everything in the offense. You know, he catch, you know, he run, so he got a chance too.
He says he should be the MVP.
No, he said he got a chance. He said he
got
a chance. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think Ray Rice has a better chance than Frank Gore, only because the attention is going to Kaepernick and the wide receiving core. And Kaepernick feels that he has some of the best wide receivers in the game.
Our receivers have done a phenomenal job this season. I mean, knowing their routes, knowing their combinations that we have going for them, and then making plays. They come to work every day.
So with that being said, we have Patrick Wilson feels as though he is one of the best and has the ability to be in the Hall of Fame. Frank Gore, who says that Ray Rice has the ability to be the MVP of the game. Kaepernick, who says his receivers come to work every day and they're pretty much the best. I'm going to tell you guys within a few minutes before we go off the air why the Ravens are going to win this game.
Okay.
The Ravens are going to win this game based upon the Ed Reed Kaepernick matchup. You're saying, why is Ed Reed matching up versus Kaepernick? Because shouldn't Ed Reed be covering Vernon Davis? And I say, no. I think if the 49ers do what a lot of people feel they're going to do, which is come out and throw the ball, Ed Reed is going to sucker Kaepernick into making a couple of mistakes. And Ed Reed is going to capitalize on at least one of them, if not more. I think Joe Flacco, he is in the top 10 quarterback in fantasy football. Should have bet you on that one, Jerry. But in the playoffs, he has been a very, very, very important cog to why the Ravens have won. 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. Last person to do that in the playoffs, Joe Montana, and they won the Super Bowl. With the running game that the Ravens have, and the passing attack that they've developed, Anquan Boldin could be the Super Bowl MVP. Not Torrey Smith, not Dennis Pierre, not Ray Rice, not Flacco, nobody else, but I think Anquan Boldin has the potential to be the MVP. He's going to be lined up against Mr. Glover, who doesn't want any people in his locker room. But Anquan's going
to
treat him
like that's going to stop him from being able to play.
Exactly. I mean, it's a dumb comment, but that's the dude that
No,
he
I'm
is.
Talking to you like his comment is going to stop him from being able to play.
Oh, no. No, Anquan is going to show him that
Anquan's going to show him that he's supposed to be accepted of everything and that his comment was stupid.
And he's going to put him in his place because he's not a star
right.
person. And I think Anquan Boldin will be the difference maker in this game as far as MVP-wise. I think that the 49ers are an outstanding team, but I don't think they're going to win this game. They're going to have their first Super Bowl loss.
Oh, God, could you hurry up, please? I know
who said I'm
going to
let you talk? I said I'm going to let you talk. So, anyway, the Ravens win this game, the 49ers lose, and I can expound more on it, but I'm going to let Jerry go. We got 5 minutes left.
Let Jerry talk some sense to you.
Okay. Hey, Vic, do you remember in the New England game against New England against the San Francisco 49ers. I think that was like, what, 17-0 at one point? Or was it against Atlanta? Atlanta against these 49ers. I think the score was 17-0.
Yeah, 21.
And,
oh, yeah, 17, you're right.
17. And what did the 49ers do to get back in that game?
They switched up their defense.
They didn't throw the ball. They continue to run the ball. They ran the ball down Atlanta's throats, mixed in the pass, but for the most part, Frank Gore was featured running the ball. Their staple is the power running game. They're going to run the ball and mix in the pass. I don't know how you got that. They're going to start off or they're going to mainly try to pass the ball on the Ravens because
right.
The Ravens are susceptible against the run.
Right.
And Frank
the
Gore
cannot stop the run. Exactly.
And Frank Gore and LaMichael James are going to have a 1-2 punch inside and outside. Along with Kyle Kaepernick, that's going to create fits for that older, slower defense.
Exactly.
And for the simple fact is the wide receivers for the San Francisco 49ers are better wide receivers because they're better blockers downfield for the running attack of the San Francisco 49ers. That's one of the things Colin Kaepernick was talking about when they say they come to work because they're besides running their routes, they do block well down the field and they're going to be running the ball a lot to open up the play action and a read option for Colin Kaepernick. I always say, McCall said it yesterday, speed kills. They're younger, they're quicker, and it would be a total shock if, in my opinion, if the Ravens win this game. I think the 49ers will win this game by at least 7 points.
Are you giving me the point?
No. Don't even go there. I'll give you the points on a $1 bet because it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, $1.
All I'm saying is this. They're going to win the game. They're going to win the game. I have with every fiber of my body, I believe that because they're a better team. They're simply a better team.
Who's got it better than us? The Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Real quick before I let you talk, Mike. We got 2 minutes up the live there. I want to thank everybody for listening to LA Sports and Politics. With me, it's me, Mr. Jeff SP and JTATM Money. I want to thank my cousin Mike for stopping in. Grown Souls and Real Talk Tuesdays and Wednesdays here on Blog Talk Radio. But
listen tomorrow because tomorrow is going to be a very good show.
Yes. Sunday, Master Plan, JTATM Money, 10 a.m. Standard Time. JT Plan to talk about.
It's African American Month. We're going to talk about some African American quarterbacks and one that is probably not thought about at all, but listen and you'll be enlightened.
Okay. You're going to go on that show tomorrow and do that. Then on Thursday, we're going to have FSP Crew Show, Jeff Black and Jerry again doing what they do, probably doing some more Black History stuff. As well as some other information. We'll catch up with them. On Fridays, No Chase and Mac Williams and Gary Taylor. There will be a Miss Sylvia, can't remember her last name, first young lady to do the blindfold dunk successfully in a dunk contest, and also former WNBA player, Mac, got some great stuff. And then on that Saturday, it's going to be JTATM. Hopefully my cousin steps in to help him out. And moms will be there, too, to keep him in line.
Oh, boy. You know,
I'll be there.
All right.
We're going to have a good time.
Whatever. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics. We're about to go into overtime and finish up this conversation. Of course, my cousin and I are going to have some different views, and we'll talk about it off air, catch that in the archive. I want to thank the 11,560-some-odd people that listen to our archive show, and the total 13,782 people listen in the month of January. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
We're going to double it.
We're in overtime. All right, Michael, what you got?
Man, like Jerry said and like I said before, speed kills, man. This team is younger. They hungrier. While I love Ray Lewis to death, I really do. I love the Ravens, too, because they right down the road here. They like, you know, our kissing cousins down the street. But they ain't winning this game, Slim. They is not winning this game. They is not winning this game at all. I mean, you got these two brothers, right? You got these two brothers that's coaching this game. You have, you know, one head coach that has, you know, he's been here. You know, he's developed Flacco. You know what I'm saying? They've been in the playoffs four times in a row. They've been doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? Then you got the other brother, which is the mad scientist. Looking at these two teams, the first thing you want to say, the first thing that I would say is that the logical choice is definitely San Francisco, but the emotional choice is always going to be the Ravens, always, most definitely, no doubt about it. You know what I'm saying? I have the highest amount of respect for Ray Lewis. I really do not like at all what they're doing to him in the media. I can't stand it. You know what I'm saying? I think it's, you know, totally disrespectful at the least lowest terms. I think it's totally disrespectful. But they're older. You know what I'm saying? They're older. They're susceptible to the run. San Francisco is going to run the ball. They're going to pound it. They're going to put it down their throat. And to the statement you said about Ed Reed, Slim, Ed Reed was getting dogged by RG3. He was getting dogged by RG3. I mean, Baltimore couldn't even handle RG3. What makes you think they're going to be able to handle Colin Kaepernick? I mean, come on, that's just crazy. We had a 1-2 punch here. We had RG3 and Morrison. We just gashed them. Yeah, Ray Lewis wasn't there, but it still would have been the same thing. So, I got San Francisco taking this game 31-24, 7 points.
I mean, there's no need in betting you.
Huh?
There's no need in betting you.
Nah, it ain't no need in betting me because I'm right. Put your money where I told you to. You win.
It's okay. I understand you're delusional in line with the rest of the world. I will say this.
You know what? I just noticed something. This Bama got plausible deniability. This Bama ain't going to be on the show next week.
What are you talking about?
You're talking about you.
That never crossed my mind.
It just crossed my mind, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna have to blast him on Facebook.
Okay.
It's not like I'll be able to reply. Whatever. Anyway, I'll say this. 49ers are a very explosive team. But the one thing that has haunted them in the past couple of games or playoff games is they're having to come from behind. And I believe that old adage that Ray Lewis, and even though a lot of them are now no longer on the team or they're old, you get the Ravens the lead. 9 times out of 10, the defense is going to hold up their end. With Ray Lewis on the field, emotionally charged, like you said, you don't like what's going on with him in the media, I'm quite sure he doesn't either. He's going to take it out on some people on that field. And a lot of those guys
ain't that much he can do to take it out. Come on.
A lot of players on that team also are playing for him, but for themselves and their legacy. Anquan wants to win a Super Bowl. He was with the Cardinals, and he knows what it feels like to lose, especially in the last seconds. I don't think he wants to have that feeling.
He's going to have that feeling again, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
He will not. But at the same time, I think the 49ers are so charged up, and they've never really been in this situation. Lee Kaepernick, he's been to one bowl game in his career. I'm not saying that just because he didn't play in a big program, he's only been in one bowl game, that he's going to be less effective. What I'm saying is that the Ravens have been in this situation, for big game situation, time and time again. They know how to deal with adversity. Hopefully, if they get a lead, like every team has done to the 49ers this past postseason, they hold on to it and know how to keep them at bay. One thing that the 49ers are good at, they're very, very good at, is adjustments. Just like Joe Gibbs was good at adjustments when he was coaching the Reds, Harbaugh is the same way. He's good at adjustments. And, you know, the 49ers can come out and lay an egg in the first half and come back in the second half and be dominant. But it will be left up to the offensive side and defensive side of the Ravens to keep the pedal to the metal. And I think a big, 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 big part of this is going to be the special team. We got Jacoby Jones, who has taken the ball to the house many times this year, going against LaMichael James and not Gordon. I can't remember the kid's name for the 49ers. But he's had a lot of issues holding on to the ball on punt returns, and that could be the difference in this game. He's had a lot of issues catching the ball on punt return and having issues fumbling the ball. So it could be a special teams type situation where the Ravens come up and do what they're supposed to do. So I'm just telling you,
okay,
don't look at just the offensive defense. Think about the special teams.
Okay. Are you you finished justifying your position? Because the plain English is that the San Francisco 49ers are a better team. And
right.
they'll prove it. And now, this kid you're talking about, Colin Kaepernick, with his ninth or tenth start, whatever it was, playing on the road against an Atlanta team that had an unbelievable record at home, playing against a prolific offense.
Right.
With the immense pressure, or so-called pressure, which he was cool, calm, and collected, pushed his team
or guided
this team ably without a flutter, other than what happened earlier in the game when he threw an interception, came back and showed the fortitude to come back and win that game against a team that was the number one pick, was really people thought was destined, because of the win they had against Seattle prior to that, was destined to go to the Super Bowl, was down 17-0 at one point against that team, and helped guide them back along with the help of Frank Gore to win that team, win that game going away, without a problem. And you think that he went to New England and beat New England, beat Green Bay with prolific offenses. You think he can't deal with the offense or the defense of
the Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens?
No,
right.
I believe that the only real defense they saw in those games you just mentioned were the Patriots, whose defense is not that good as compared to the Ravens. I think the Ravens communicate better and they play faster, even though they're older than some of those other teams. I'm just telling you, we all knew that the defense of, or the run defense of the Falcons was their Achilles heel. We knew that. And
the Achilles heel of Atlanta is Mike Nolan.
No, it's the run defense, because the pass defense was doing well. It was the run defense that let them down all year long.
Well, then I got a question.
It wasn't Mike Nolan. Wasn't Atlanta up 17-0?
He called, and then all of a sudden
San Francisco won the game? Really?
He called the plays,
okay,
but it's up to the players to execute. Because
when
they throw the ball, when people threw the ball against Atlanta,
sound just like Charlie Brown.
The DBs were ranked in the top. Okay, you can beat Charlie Brown's teacher all you want. It doesn't matter. I mean, the fact is, the run defense for the Atlanta Falcons was their Achilles heel. Their pass defense was ranked in the top five.
Well, I got a question
for you.
Can't
tell me it's just
the entire
team. I saw
Colin Kaepernick throw all over it.
I
saw Young and throw all over it. Go ahead, Jerry.
I got a question for you. What kind of excuse are you going to give to the supposedly defensive genius in New England that they couldn't stop Colin Kaepernick and the San Francisco 49ers from beating them in their own house?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving any type of excuse. What I'm saying is that the Ravens communicate better. Ravens play better defense than the Patriots defense did.
You know, you've known me for a long time, and there's one thing I tell you, and I've always said, speed kills. And the speed of the 49ers on both sides of the ball is going to create a lot of problems for the Baltimore Ravens.
And I'm not taking anything. I'm not taking anything from the Ravens at all.
Right.
I think that team. I'm picking between these two teams. It's almost close to a toss up, bro. It's almost close to a toss up. But looking at San Francisco all the way around, man. They have youth, they have speed, they got hunger, they got all that. They got every one of those things. They're going to take this game, man. And, you know, then to respond back to what you said about, you know, whatever, you know, they haven't faced the real defense. I mean, the last time the Ravens faced the offense like San Francisco, they got creamed.
No, they went to overtime and lost to us. But that's fine.
The only reason why they went to overtime, Slim, is because the player that was putting the damage on them got hurt. Stop that, man. Stop that. That game would have been over. Stop that. That game would have been over. They're going to run this read option on them, man, and it's over. It's over.
All right. I mean, hey, you're entitled to your opinion. I disagree. However, we will see about 9:30 your time, 6:30 my time.
And if any of y'all listening, just make sure you go to Victor's page after the Super Bowl game. I will be spamming his page because I know he's not going to be on the show until after April. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I can't really get him and let him know what I really think about it. So we just going to spam his page and then just take over his show. You know what I'm saying? Jerry, I'll make sure that I'm here at every one of his shows.
No problem.
That is fine. I mean, I hope you're here when you're wrong and you lose. You know, because it's going to be a top. It's going to be, well, yeah, Youngin was all that. Youngin didn't do this, but I hate excuses already. It's all good. I mean, hey, it's hard being the lone guy that's going to be right.
As long as you have my PayPal account in your favorites, I don't have a worry in the world.
No, it's hard being the lone emotional dude in the group. That's what it is. That's what I'm trying to tell you, man.
You got
logic and you got emotion. You know what I'm saying? The emotional pick is the Ravens. The logical pick is the 49ers. Logic, 49ers. Emotion, Ravens. Trying to tell you.
Yes.
Yeah, who's the biggest inspirational figure on that's playing in the Super Bowl? Oops.
It doesn't matter. Because you know what? This is what happens for me. This is what's for me.
And they stay there. And they stay there. And they stay there.
You just figured out how to use the studio on the PCR.
Yeah.
I've been using it. But anyway, mm-hmm. It's time to get off the air.
You're playing my music, but that's okay.
Hey, I got to play what's on the soundboard, Slim. hate it or love it.
And it stays there. And it stays there.
That's right, because all I do is win. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you guys again for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics here on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I can't guarantee that every show is going to be live over the next 2 months, but I can guarantee you're going to get a good show.
Yes, you're definitely going to get a good show. And for the most part, I'm going to try to make every live show unless something unforeseen happens.
All right. Y'all going to learn today. I'm going to thank again my cousin, Mikal Moore, because I'm going to spam his page when I get the opportunity. And be like, you're wrong. All I'm going to do is just one time. And
make sure you're on the right side of that.
Whatever.
Better make sure you're on the right side of that ass, Mac.
Whatever.
No, I'm serious. Mac got it so bad from my folks on FB that he unfriended me.
Really?
Yeah. Am I lying, Jerry?
No, you're not. No, you are, not.
Serious?
Yeah.
Slim, what you think?
Wow.
I got about 10,000 folks on that joint now, man. They ain't playing. We ain't playing.
I got that, but he unfriended you for that?
He unfriended me because he had said something on my page, and we was discussing, and then a couple other folks saw it, and I was like, oop, I can't help you, Slim. You say that.
Damn.
So, you know, you're more than welcome to come on there and say what you got to say, bro.
But you better come to play. Let me put it that way.
That's right.
They can come to play. I know the little nasty people on this page. We ain't nasty.
It ain't had nothing to do with nasty. It was very intellectual.
What I meant
by nasty is you know, the conversation can be, you know, either
real,
volatile, or whatever.
Real.
However, I'm ready for anything that comes, because y'all bums, it is what it is. Hate it or love it, because I'm the best thing going today.
Woo!
But every Saturday, Fantasy Sports and Politics, rocking and rolling, doing what we do, keeping it moving and grooving with the soul that we have. On Sundays, Master Plan, MP, JT, ATM Money, my ATM, PIN number 777-9311. I heard that in the car last night, too. For the first time I heard the entire song. But that was funny. Morris Day in the Time.
Ladies and gentlemen, please excuse my cousin. He did watch too much WWF when he was growing up, so please just excuse him.
Yes.
Whatever. Hater, hate on. And then on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Grown Soul and Real Talk, you know, Blog Talk Radio with my cousin, Mikal Moore. And he's better known as Mikal the Poet, if you didn't know it. He's on here doing his own thing with his group Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Check him out.
Mikal Moore, a.k.a. Mikal the Poet, a.k.a. the Grown Soul, a.k.a. the Silky Smooth Lover, a.k.a. the Sweet Sensation in Your Girlfriend's Ear Last Night.
Why must she go the route? I was just introducing you to your show.
No, I'm just saying. You know, you had your Mikal the Poet. You know, I had to. You know, I had to show you.
Whatever.
How it's done.
Wow.
Anyway,
I got a question for both of y'all. When you were younger, did you guys? Before you do, because I have to ask this question, because I'll probably forget it next time in April. So I got to ask it now. When you guys were younger, did you guys go at each other like this?
Mm-mm.
No, not really.
No.
Not really, no.
No, it's just alpha male now.
Okay.
It's just alpha male now. We both alphas. We are the alphas of the family.
Okay.
And
that's all that is.
I am the alpha.
You're the little boy. You're the little boy. See, all my kids are in college. You know what I'm saying? I'm chilling over this jump. You know what I'm saying? My legacy
and
is built. I can go back and build another one. You still playing with the blocks. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Me and Jerry, I can go hang out with Jerry. And chill, and we would be talking about stuff you don't even know what we're talking about.
I don't need to smoke weed. It's all good. Let's keep it moving.
And we ain't even got to smoke weed, Slim. Why I got to be about weed?
Yeah, why
I got to be about weed?
Can I finish? Thank you very much. I appreciate the love.
Yeah, hurry up and finish so we can get on, get you up out of here.
Shut up. Thursday's MSP Crew Show with Jeff Black and Jerry. Probably my cousin Mike's going to drop in and try to get in on that conversation as well because he's just that much of an intellectual. Then on Fridays, no chase for Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Apparently, Mac has unfriended my cousin. I didn't know nothing about it. I don't know if he's going to let him come on the show now. He's got befriended. That's
oh,
no,
I done came on the show a few times. Matter
oh,
fact,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've been on the show at least about five or six times, and then he tried to act like he didn't know he did it, but he did it. He did
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. I ain't mad. We not mad. It ain't no hard feelings. It ain't no hard feelings. None.
Oh, okay.
None whatsoever. I thought it was funny.
But, ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude this week's show. Pardon shots real quick, and I know where they're going, and I know where they're aimed at, but I'm going to let them happen anyway. Cuz, you're up first, then JT.
Oh, I just want to say peace and blessings. I want to say a happy belated birthday to the true number 42, Jackie Robinson. Also want to say a happy birthday to the one lady that has moved the whole nation, Miss Rosa Parks. Peace and blessings.
JT.
Well, you have a safe hiatus from the show. Hope you come back in one piece and inspired and a little bit more knowledgeable than you have been. But it is what it is. You have to deal with what we have. So it is what it is. Like I said, I'm going to be talking about tomorrow a read option star that a lot of people don't know about. I'm not talking about Michael Vick before Michael Vick, and I'm talking about black quarterbacks tomorrow. So tune in, and if you get a chance, call in, and we'll talk about it. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the master plan. I'll be there.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. FSP. Probably because I'm not going to get an opportunity to say it to my cousin. Happy birthday, Mr. Moore. What are you going to be, 44?
Yeah. 44, 45, whatever, 40-something. Nah, I'm going to be 40.
Okay,
40.
You hit that mark.
Jerry gave me some good advice about turning 40. Love, I've been thinking, Jerry, I've been thinking about that all the time. I was like, oh.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, man.
Getting the prostate check. Go do what you got to do. But my cousin's birthday is coming up to my mother's birthday, so we'll say happy birthday to her. Valentine's Day is coming up. My niece's birthday is coming up. Then my son's birthday is going to be at the end of the month. So I just want to say happy birthday to all those that have a birthday in this month. And it is Black History Month. So if you didn't know anything about African American culture, or you only have stereotypical information about it, I encourage you, open a book, get on the internet and read for influential persons in the African American history lineage. Right now, the military is doing a focus on freedom and equality, the crossroads of freedom and equality with the African American. And I encourage you all to look it up and get involved. To my co-host, I hope you enjoy your Super Bowl because you'll be $100 lighter, and I appreciate it because I'm going to need it. To all those that are going to root for the Ravens, you're backing a good team. All those rooting for the 49ers, also a good team, but they're going to come up just short. David Akers might miss a game-winning field goal. You never know. He's done it this entire year. He says he's going to change now. But with that being said, everyone, have a safe weekend. Enjoy this Super Bowl and enjoy your day. JTATM, do your thing, homie.
Macau, from Macau, myself, and Mr. Vic, shall we call him?
Don't do it.
Too sweet.
Too sweet.
You've been listening. What's that?
You've been listening to the Too Sweet Network.
Oh, shut up.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports,